Welcome to the Data Points podcast, created by the Bloomberg Center for Government Excellence at Johns Hopkins University. We explore the ways the public sector is using data to understand complex issues, engage residents, and improve quality of life, particularly for underserved communities. My name is Evan Serpik, and I'm Director of Communications at GovX. In this role, I help spread the word about the work that GovX does to help cities use data creatively and effectively to improve the lives of residents across the U.S. and around the globe. Today, I'm joined by Amy Edwards-Holmes, the Executive Director of GovX. Since GovX's 2024 Impact Report comes out this month, we wanted to sit down to reflect a bit on the whirlwind of 2024 and look at what's ahead for GovX and our partners in 2025. Welcome back to the podcast, Amy.
Glad to be here.
So 2024 was an action-packed year, both for GovX and for the advancement of data in cities. We welcomed our largest ever cohort of cities to the Bloomberg Philanthropy City Data Alliance. We hosted a major event in D.C. with Senator Mark Warner to celebrate the 10th anniversary of the Data Act. We introduced incredible new tools like the City Data Explorer, and overall, we supported 190 unique cities, hosting 91 events for almost 2,000 learners, benefiting more than 113 million residents around the world. Very impressive. But I think the big story for 2024 is the advancement of AI. Cities had been tentatively exploring how to use AI for a couple of years before 2024, but it seemed like over the past year, more cities made it part of the way they operate. Does that sound right?
Yes. So I definitely think that AI is the story of the year, and the pace of AI adoption has really picked up in cities and the public sector at large. GovX launched the City AI Connect in partnership with Bloomberg Philanthropies back in 2023. And we created City AI Connect as this global learning community and a digital platform that allows cities to share what they're doing, to be able to compare notes about what's working, what's not, and you know, all with the goal of having an open space where they can really advance the usage of AI to improve public services. So we're seeing a lot of great dialogue in that platform. And early posts that we saw on the platform were largely about establishing guidelines for using AI. You know, there were a lot of concerns being raised and reservations about how do you overcome the risk? How do you assess the risk? How do you build skills in the workforce? And there was just a general sense of lack of clarity around how they should pursue and adopt this type of innovation and technology. But I think in 2024, we saw a bit of a pivot. More and more cities kind of solidified, okay, we know what this is. We are solidified, like how it can be used in our cities. We have guidelines in place, and now we can really look and move forward on how we operationalize AI. And I think cities, you know, did also realize how important it is to upskill their workforce to be ready to use AI, and how important it is to tailor training to kind of each individual unit within the organization, because AI can have so many broad applications. I think you have to look at each individual business case in use to determine like how you upskill and prepare staff. So I think like the workforce piece is super important. I also had the opportunity this year to share some testimony to the House of Representatives around specifically this issue around how we upskill and really have to prepare the workforce for the adoption of this kind of technology. So I think the people are often the most important part in innovation and how you adopt emerging tech like AI. So I'll just double down on that one. And we're seeing that happen across cities where they are building those skills amongst their teams. We also saw that cities really looked at, you know, how you evaluate AI implementations, how many people hours are being saved through these tools, and being able to communicate the results of what's achieved by leveraging this technology. I think that's important. Important to do that up front. I think like, often we just jump in, we want to try, we want to do, but thinking about, you know, what's the outcome, how are you going to evaluate these new tools is something that we really want to see and we're seeing more of in cities. Also, one of the issues that we're seeing cities grapple with are the outdated or maybe insufficient data use policies that they may have in place. AI systems are really trained on existing data policies and staff guidance. And if those policies and guidance around the management of data are outdated, then the data will be, you know, won't be at the right level of quality that you would want in order to utilize these tools. So I think really cities are looking at their data fundamentals to make sure that they are really ready to embrace this new technology and have their data in good order to do so. So that's a little bit about what I've been seeing on the topic of the year, which is AI.
For sure. So can you talk a little bit about, as cities are getting more comfortable around AI and, you know, operationalizing it, what are some of the ways that GovX has tried to support that transition and to allow cities to feel even more comfortable as they go forward?
Yeah, so a lot of the cities that GovX has worked with over our many years trying to build data capabilities in cities are really using and using AI in more mature ways. Cities like Buenos Aires and Washington, D.C. have been using AI for a while. You know, they have more mature chatbots and other types of resident-facing tools that help navigate city resources. So we're seeing, obviously, examples like that, similar to what you see in the private sector. And then I think Chattanooga, Tennessee, might be one of the more exciting use cases we've seen. And we also worked with Chattanooga's mayor and the city team there and the City Data Alliance. And they're really experimenting with an exciting technology, digital twins, where they are actually built a simulation of their city, and they're using AI to, you know, look at the impact of policies that are being considered or put in place and being able to model that with AI-generated simulations. And I think that's really exciting and interesting in helping them think ahead and plan in new ways. So those are two examples. I think we're still seeing high demand for upskilling the workforce, and we are working at GovX to help meet that interest in developing new AI programming, especially around the fundamentals to grow that literacy around these tools, these technologies across the whole, you know, cities, city halls, but across the public sector. We're also introducing a new AI track and a track of programming, like a kind of a new concentration in our existing City Data Alliance program, which is exciting. There's a lot of interest there, and it's really going to help cities integrate AI as part of their core data strategies, which is something that we definitely recommend. And, you know, our City AI Connect continues to grow. I think we are excited to have almost 400 cities as a part of that community from around the globe, sharing resources, best practices, and really what they're learning on this journey to really leverage AI with a focus on how it helps people in our communities. So it's an exciting time.
Yeah, it sure is. You mentioned the City Data Alliance, which is, of course, sort of so central to our work. And I know that 2024 was a big year for the CDA. Can you talk a little bit about how the CDA evolved this year?
Sure. We collaborate closely with Bloomberg Philanthropies on the City Data Alliance, and we work with mayors in cities with populations of over 100,000 or more across North, Central, and South America to provide executive education and coaching, real hands-on support, to leverage data to strengthen local government operations, innovate in public services, and produce better outcomes for residents. So in 2024, we had 23 cities in our class, the most we've ever had, as you noted, and bringing together 65 cities total across 12 countries over the 3 years that we've been running the program. And that those 65 cities are really representing 54 million people who I hope are impacted with, benefit from the data capacity building and infrastructure and that comes with these data strategies. One of the core components of the City Data Alliance is the development of a citywide data strategy. And in 2024, we saw, you know, a data strategy is an actionable plan. It's multi-year, and it really lays out the city's journey of how it's going to build data capacity. How is it going to use data? How is it going to integrate AI into the operations and the day-to-day management of the city? So when we started the City Data Alliance back in 2022, there were only a couple cities in the world that had, you know, robust citywide data strategies. And I'm happy to say that over the past 3 years and now in 2024, we have about 50 cities that have those actionable data strategies in place and are really building that muscle to be able to lead with data, to manage with data, and to be more responsive in times of crises. And so this is critical with cities being on the front line of so many of today's demands. They're very unpredictable, as we know. So we're really excited about the progress we're seeing there. As cities are implementing these data strategies, they really make, like, it's not just a paper on a printout on a shelf or a plan on a shelf. Like, these make a difference. and they make a difference to people. For example, in its citywide data strategy, Little Rock, Arkansas introduced a Rockfolio, which I love that name, which is a public dashboard where residents can track progress on all city projects and see how all city funds are spent, increasing the transparency and that critical trust in government, which is really important. So we've seen, you know, that transparency can go a long way for engaging with the community and also informing improvements as the government and the community can work more closely together. So it's a great, great progress in Little Rock, Arkansas. Another great example in one of our Latin American countries, Montevideo, Uruguay. They participated in the City Data Alliance, and as part of their data strategy, they built the skills and capability to actually that really paid off in a time of crises. Montevideo faced a crucial water crisis. Their water reserves ran dry. And so because they had a strategy in place, because they had good data in place, they were able to share real-time water quality updates with residents. They were able to identify safe well water reserves, and they were able to micro-target water deliveries to people with severe medical conditions and really, you know, use data. They understood their environment, their infrastructure, and then their residents. And when you have those two things together, that's when you can act more quickly in a crisis. And that's what we saw in Montevideo. And so we're working with many of our CDA cities who are planning to announce their citywide data strategies in the coming months. This is just a taste of what we've seen in the past. And this is one of the most exciting things that we look forward to celebrating with the cities who are in our current program and really beginning to understand and see this work mature as these plans and strategies really are implemented. And we hope to see more and more of those positive results in delivering a more responsive, real-time, responsive government. So
that's really exciting stuff. And of course, the CDA is just one of the ways that we work directly with cities. Can you talk about a couple of the other ways that GovX was there for cities to help better leverage data?
Yeah. So we have a GovX Academy, which along with our on-the-ground support from our coaching teams really facilitate a lot of learning opportunities on a broad range of programs. We're really happy to partner with Results for America in the What Works Cities certification programming, looking to upskill cities and prepare for those What Works City certifications. So we offer a number of training supports for that. We also supported cities through the Bloomberg Harvard City Leader Initiative. So that's a program that Harvard runs in partnership with Bloomberg Philanthropies. And we run an aspect of that that's focused on data and intensive like track focused on data. And we're excited to have those partnerships with Results for America and Harvard to help complement and help build data capacity with sister programming that's out there. So we're happy to do that. And overall, GovX last year, we supported 190 unique cities in 2024, and our programming benefited more than 113 million residents around the world. And so our reach has really grown over the last few years, and I hope it'll continue to do so in many years to come.
Absolutely. So I mentioned the City Data Explorer at the opening, which is really just one pretty major piece of the work our research analytics team does, which is such a fascinating area of the work that we've talked to a lot of the staff about, specifically about the City Data Explorer. Can you talk a little bit about how the platform can really be a game changer for cities?
Sure. Well, as most maybe our listeners know who are familiar with GovX, GovX is widely known for supporting Johns Hopkins' work during the pandemic and developing the Coronavirus Resource Center, which aggregated a lot of data around the pandemic and, you know, cases and all of that, and really aggregated a lot of data from a lot of different places. And so building on those skills and lessons learned from that work, we began to develop a new resource that will aggregate statistical data from across the federal government so that it can be more widely used by cities. And so we've been developing the City Data Explorer for a while now, and we believe that it will increase the ability for cities to really understand and analyze what's happening and leverage this valuable statistical data in new ways. Because I think it's hard. Some of it's very complex and all of it's released in different time scales and frequencies. And so we've made it easy through this tool to be able to access that data, be able to understand, interpret it, and find the right geographic boundary to to be able to use it. And so we hope it'll be a really valuable tool for cities that they can include in their own analytics efforts. It's one of the most, the City Data Explorer is really one of the most comprehensive single sources of public data around the top 100 US cities that I've ever seen. And it's including about 1.7 million data points. And we have about 40 metrics in the tool that are really ranging in various topics around demographics and other comparative measures that we will be able to track over time and cities will be able to utilize. So I think it'll be a very valuable tool. And so we have it out for cities to test it right now, but hopefully it will be shared more widely soon. So we're getting some valuable feedback from cities on the tool.
That's great. So if we look ahead now to 2025, I know that we're looking at some changes this year, including GovX joining a new academic home. Can you talk a little bit about that and what it will mean for GovX?
Sure. So maybe some of our listeners know, but we're really excited that Johns Hopkins University announced that there is a new School of Government and Policy, which will be based out of the Hopkins Bloomberg Center in Washington, D.C., and GovX will be a part of that new school. GovX has been at Hopkins for almost 10 years, and you know we've been in kind of an independent center that works closely with others across the university, but I really think the new school and being part of like an academic center that's really focused on government will really allow GovX to work with even more leading experts across the field, and really an exciting time to be part of the new school, the founding of it, and bringing the insights that we learn from the front lines of working with city leaders back also to Hopkins to help inform some of the policy work. So I think GovX is going to benefit greatly from the new expertise and growth that's happening at Hopkins. And we hope that we can contribute also to what we're seeing on the front lines as more of a practitioner-focused center. So more to come on that.
Very exciting stuff. And there's another milestone I know coming up this year. You sort of alluded to it, but this is going to be our 10th anniversary in 2025. So talk about that, what it feels like and what it means for GovX to be 10 years old.
Yeah, well, GovX was founded in 2015. And so we are, I think in March, are going to have our 10th anniversary. It's a very exciting time. Bloomberg Philanthropy is kind of partnered with Hopkins and our founder, Beth Blauer, back in 2015 to create GovX, which started off very small and now has grown considerably over time and reaching more and more cities, having more and more impact. And I just say I would expect it to continue to grow, especially as we see emerging technology like data and AI at the forefront of so much of modernization efforts and government innovation. It really is at the heart of that work in cities and across the public sector. And so I think GovX is in a great position with the new School of Government and with this legacy work over the past 10 years to really accelerate and continue to support the growth of these vital resources and technology across cities and the public sector. And I think it's going to be an exciting time.
Very cool. Very exciting things ahead. Well, thank you so much, Amy. And I'd like to thank our listeners as well. If you'd like to learn more, you can find us at govx.jhu.edu. And if you'd like to fill out our listener survey, visit our podcast page at govx.jhu.edu/data-points. Please make sure you're subscribed on your podcasting app of choice. And thanks so much for listening.